Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know. This is Morning Air.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, August 21st. Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Morning Air on this Monday, the memorial of Pope St. Pius X. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us all across America and beyond, wherever you may be on this Monday morning, listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you to start the work week here on the network. And as I am still overflowing with gratitude, I am smiling from ear to ear. It was another great Friday and weekend for us here at Relevant Radio. Just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Relevant Radio family. It was just amazing. Another outstanding Answer the Call summer pledge drive with your unbelievable heroic support. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for another 3 months. We came up short this time at the end of the Drew Mariani show at 5 p.m. on Friday, but once again, we made our goal of $3 million thanks to our generous listeners, especially our overnight listeners at about 1 a.m. Just after midnight early on Saturday morning. We crossed the finish line. In fact, I didn't find out till I woke up in the morning on Saturday morning when I looked it up and saw that we had actually made it. I love it. Yes, we made it with your amazing support and all the many, many prayers, all those memoraries through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Want to share the happy totals. We're just a little over $3.1 million this morning from 14,453 donations. That's gifts from you, our Relevant Radio family, with an average gift amount of just $215. So doesn't matter small or large, it all makes such a difference. And just as I had promised on Friday morning, I bought 2 dozen roses for Our Lady and Our Lord, the twin hearts of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for reaching our goal during the 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. hour here on Morning Air. So we posted the picture of myself and Sarah in front of the image of Our Lady Guadalupe with the beautiful roses to honor Our Lord and Our Lady. And I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah once again. I am still smiling from ear to ear. I'm so grateful for yet another amazing. The Lord always provides. Our listeners always come through, guys.
Oh, they certainly do. Thank you so much for your generous support at 877-291-0123. No, the pledge drive doesn't continue. We're just thanking you for getting there over the weekend, and it just squeaked in just in time. Thank you so much for that. A great picture with all the roses there. And now, John, we kind of chatted you a little bit about maybe buying a third dozen roses on Friday. Should we continue that conversation or avoid that conversation altogether?
Oh, my goodness. You know, Glenn, I owe my wife a dozen roses.
It sounds like he forgot.
No, I didn't forget. I actually remembered. I purposely didn't buy them because I didn't want them to go bad. I was focused on getting the roses for Our Lord and Our Lady. And I said, okay, I'll do it over the weekend. And sure enough, got super tied up. And my goodness, one thing led to another. And before you know it, here we are. And yes, I still need to buy that dozen
roses.
You
better set an alarm, Glenn, to send him a reminder text because I have a feeling... You might forget again.
We won't say anything. We won't say a show. We won't say any more about it. And so Cindy, who listens to every minute of the show, won't have any idea.
You know what?
You won't know.
Ironically, she wasn't listening at that time when you said that, Glenn.
And she is now.
Yeah, I think she is. I think she is. Well, the reason we're even talking about roses.
God looks at the heart, what your intentions are.
My intentions were definitely there. No question about it.
That factors in. It's not the whole deal. But the intention is part of it, yeah.
Yes, for sure. The reason we're talking about roses is because, of course, we hit our goals in the 6 and 7 a.m. hour. And again, I'm just so grateful. I can't begin to say from the heart how much I appreciate our listeners, especially early in the morning. I know how tough mornings can be. Half the country is not even awake when we come on the air at 6 a.m. It's only 4 on the West Coast. And also the reality that in August, it's typically our hardest month for the pledge drive. So here's the happy totals for Friday here on this show. We mentioned that we hit our goal overall as a network, but on Morning Air, we had 519 gifts for $84,000+. Again, tremendous, tremendous show of support early in the morning. And every single one of you makes such a difference. I shared last hour, there was a lady who sent a check for $10. $10. You talk about the widow's mite, guys. A $10 check from the heart for Relevant Radio. And I think that sums up our summer pledge drive.
It was golden, you might say.
I like that. Yeah, no, thank you, Margie, and all the people who called in and emailed in and did all of their very best to support us. We appreciate it. Man, we can't do it without you. We look forward, as much as, you know, pledge drives are can be a drain on the listeners having to hear us constantly asking and us trying to constantly ask, it's so beautiful to kind of get that support every 3 months, just checking in with you guys and saying, hey, are we still doing a good job? And you guys come through, so we got to keep working hard to make sure that we're doing our very best for each and every one of you out there.
Well, if you were overseas or anywhere else around the world, climbing the Himalayas or on vacation somewhere, and you didn't take part in our pledge party last week, it's still not too late, as Glenn mentioned. Quick reminder, it's tax deductible. You can do it online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app, or you can still call us. Again, the pledge drive is over, but if you didn't get a chance to be a part of it, 877-291-0123. Glenn, lots happening this morning in the news, as always, a very busy Monday, but we begin this morning in Southern California.
Yeah, we certainly do. Albert Hammond had a hit song in the 70s saying it never rains in Southern California. Well, they're getting plenty of rain in some spots, 6 months to a year's worth in one day. Tropical Storm Hillary now downgraded from that, but still quite the big rainmaker moving its way up through central Nevada, and it should dissipate by the time the day is through, but not without leaving a lot of rain and some potential mud and landslides in its wake. We've got the latest for you from the Weather Channel.
Hillary is now post-tropical, but don't let that fool you. The impacts are still far and wide. Heavy rain that we'll see likely for the mountain slopes and the foothills. But remember, we still have a lot of flooding that is still going to take place even where the rain has stopped. And notice now how far north this moisture goes, all the way into Idaho and Montana. We're going to continue to see the rain come down. We'll start to see the rain end south to north throughout the day today, and this system will clear out Tuesday. Even into Wednesday, though, we'll still be looking at moisture. So there's a look at the rainfall that is still to come.
And Glenn, the good folks in Southern California just aren't used to this type of rainfall. In fact, this is the first tropical storm to hit Southern California in 84 years. I believe that was the year of the Wizard of Oz, Glenn.
Oh, it's been such a long time. And the thing is, the topography, the ground there isn't designed to soak up moisture very quickly. So it runs off, and you know, we're something of a few inches in an hour or two might be handled more easily in places where they get some of those hurricane force winds and rains in other parts of the country. Not the case for Southern California, parts of Nevada and Arizona as well. And so that's what's leading to that. In addition to that, John, you know, an earthquake at 5.1, no major damage reported from that, but just a bit northwest of L.A. yesterday in the middle of all this, too.
Can you imagine in the middle of that and an earthquake for the folks there just outside of L.A.?
Yep. And, you know, reading about that happening, it's like, oh, some people might be trying to, you know, connect some dots there and think this is some kind of message, perhaps, for some of those folks.
The children in Los Angeles public schools are off today. I believe that in San Diego they're also off. So a lot of kids staying home today.
Yeah, they're going to get their school year started a little bit later on, and that's due to the road conditions. And, you know, not as always, when there's, you know, running water in the road, you're not sure what's underneath. And so not always a safe situation there. But hooray for more vacation for the kids anyway.
Yeah, it's not really something that you think about. You take the bus to school, ride your bike to school, not row your boat to school. So that's it's going to be a different thing. We'll just wait till the streets are a little bit safer.
Now, last week, of course, we talked about the tragic situation in Maui, in Hawaii. President Biden and the First Lady are scheduled to visit Hawaii today.
Yep, they'll be out there. The death toll now up to 114, but still about 1,000 people missing. And so the death toll could well rise greatly. And, you know, not looking to just make that a scoreboard type thing ticking off every day. But it's, the president could face some angry folks there, maddened by the seemingly slow response. A very tough situation, and people getting understandably restless.
As we mentioned last week, I can't help but think of just that incredible miracle, the parish that in English the translation is Our Lady of Victory. My wife was telling me that they do the traditional Latin Mass in that parish, and that parish survived the fire. Just a little gift from God of hope for those people in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks looking for any sort of hope. Saw some footage of different fundraisers in parts of the area that did survive, and people coming together, you know, happy, surprised and happy to see one another if they'd been separated from neighbors and loved ones. And, you know, so many seeing everything they own burned down to just ashes.
Now, I know that our very own Sarah used to be a soccer player back in the day, so she probably can appreciate what it takes to play at the world-class level. And yesterday, Spain pulled it off. They are celebrating a World Cup championship. The Spanish national team shut down England 1-0 yesterday morning in Sydney, Australia, to capture their first ever women's world title, the first for España since 2010.
That's so exciting. You know what I can appreciate? I can appreciate what it takes to be a water girl at the college level, because that's kind of where I ended up on my wonderful soccer career. running is so much work. So, but yeah, man, it is a lot of work, and they did their very best. And man, 1-0, that is a very tight game. So it could have gone either way, everyone playing at their top level. But you know what? Someone's got to be the winner. So just happy to see that those teams are doing their very best, and Spain's probably out of their minds for the next year or so till they do the next one.
Oh, yes. I'm sure a lot of Spanish soccer jerseys being warmed and a lot of celebration going on there in Madrid, Barcelona, and all over the country.
Well, and also, as Glenn often says, probably a lot of female baby names named after some of these players for all the fans. So just be looking for those trends in the future.
For the record, you were a goalie?
I did play goalie for a while, and then did some outside mid work. So, and then finally, you know, crowned the career with that water bottle, you know, passing those out. So.
And you once told me you were a goalie because you didn't like to run a lot.
I got tricked. John, it happens to the best of us. They said, we'll have you be goalie, and then they switched me around. So it's not fun.
I want to ask about the goalie gloves. You know, they look like kind of you're wearing cartoon hands out there, you know, as a soccer goalie. Are they actually helpful?
They are very helpful because, you know, that ball is coming fast and you want to make sure you have extra padding. I was just telling this to my son. Yeah, you want those extra, you know, wide and thick so you can not break any fingers. And you know what? On your off days, you can always be Mickey or Minnie Mouse. So that's always fun.
There we go.
Being a goalie is fun, definitely. And I think that the goalie skill is kind of similar to a baseball infielder. So if you have good goalie hands, you can probably be a good infielder.
You got to be ready for anything. Maybe that's why I'm ready to be this producer job. You got to be ready for whatever comes your way.
There you go. Our very own Sarah, ready for anything. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
Prayer. We always start in prayer every single show. Wouldn't think of starting a show without praying, and we always give thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always keeping in mind that every single day is a blessing. We always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, and on Mondays we typically pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And once again, every morning, we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and you can send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 17:3. Jesus the Lord says, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what it's all about, knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved than the holy name of Jesus. And we always pray with great confidence, that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus I trust in you. We need to take a short time out. When we come back on the other side, our spiritual director, Father Burkmasters, the baseball priest, will join us to continue his series on the Ten Commandments. This morning, we're going to talk about the third and fourth commandments. So stay with us as this Monday morning edition of Morning Air rolls on here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Seems it never rains in Southern California. Seems I've often heard that kind of talk before. It never rains in California.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can email us directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. And if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, it's 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue our mini summer series with Father Burkmasters about the Ten Commandments. We've been talking about the commandments to better understand them a little bit better according to the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Joining us live for much more on the third and fourth commandments this morning is our spiritual director, Father Burkmasters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, and the author of his new book, A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball to Catholic Priest. Father Burke is the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, known as the baseball priest, and of course, a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again. I was thinking about you as I watched the Cubs take 2 out of 3 from Mike Sweeney's Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, it was at Wrigley Field yesterday morning. It's a little bit more of a challenge these days as a pastor. So I had a mass here at St. Isaac's and then went down to Wrigley Field, celebrated mass there, and then came back for our final mass. But yeah, the Cubs are playing so well, and you know they were close to selling at the trade deadline, and they got hot, and now they're really battling for one of the playoff spots, which is exciting.
It sure is. Yeah, talk about exciting. I was so excited, and it felt like we just didn't have enough time to get into your talking about your latest new book, A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball to Catholic Priest. How is that going?
It's seems to be going very well. Amazon has it as a bestseller, number one in faith and spirituality, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback. And a lot of people have heard my story, whether it's here on the radio or I've shared it at their parish. But now they're able to share it, you know, in written form with other people. What I'm excited about, it's selling really high as a baseball biography, and it may be able to reach people who maybe love baseball or sports, but maybe haven't heard the gospel in a certain way. And so that's my prayer for the book, is that it touches hearts and brings people closer to Jesus and the church.
Well, Father Burke, I am so happy for you, and I know it's going to continue to do fantastic, and who knows how many hearts will be touched from that very inspirational book. Well, Father, of course, we could talk baseball all day long, but this morning we're going to continue with the series that we started earlier this summer on the Ten Commandments. Real quickly, can you remind the folks who may be just joining us why it's a good idea to systematically, you know, study the Ten Commandments and really get to know them a little bit better?
Well, it's appropriate we're talking about this today, because the gospel for today's Mass is the rich young man who comes to Jesus and he says, what do I need to do to gain eternal life? And the first thing Jesus says is follow the commandments. And so this means that this moral code, the Ten Commandments, holds a special place in Jesus's plan of salvation. So, you know, we believe as Catholics that it's faith and work. So primary is faith, putting our faith in Jesus, but then that faith needs to be poured out in good works and following the commandments. And then the young man says, well, I've done that. He's a really good man. And then he says, what else must I do? And then the Lord raises the bar and he says, now I want you to go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And it says he went away sad because he had many possessions. So does the Lord literally ask us to sell everything? Some people he does ask that. But most of us, he wants us to detach from anyone or anything that we put above God. And so to start, you know, this conversation, the commandments are important. And it's not just some antiquated thing from the Old Testament and that we don't think about anymore. No, it lays down the path for us to follow God. The first three commandments are about our relationship with God, and the next seven commandments are about our relationship with one another. And today we're going to cover three and four, which the last one of loving God and the first one of loving our neighbor.
The commandments are eternal. They never go out of style. They're just as relevant today as they were 5,000 years ago.
Exactly. And if you look at these, as you say, Scripture is ever ancient and ever new, right? And the Word of God is living. And Jesus is the Word of God that took on flesh. And so what is said in the Old Testament, you know, is revealed in the New. And what is said in the New Testament, what Jesus says, is hidden in the Old Testament. And so, as you say, these don't go out of style. You know, if they did, we would have chaos. And I think there seems to be a movement in society where we want to be inclusive, and inclusivity is a good thing. But true inclusivity, according to God's ways, are God loves everyone, but he doesn't accept all behavior, you know? And so this new movement of inclusivity in our world today wants to just accept any behavior, and it goes against the Ten Commandments. For example, the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. If we just included everybody and said, just do whatever you want, we would live in chaos. And so these Ten Commandments give order, right order to society, that allow us to live in freedom, true freedom, which doesn't mean we can do what we want, but true freedom is following God's ways. That's where we find a healthy society. That's where we find true happiness.
Well, Father Burke, let's jump right in. Time is always the enemy, just like in sports. Let's talk about the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Why did God bless the Sabbath day and declare it sacred?
Yeah, this goes back to, you know, the Old Testament, where the Jewish people would keep holy the Sabbath. And it says God created for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. And for Jewish people, the Sabbath is Saturday, that day of rest. And then for Christians, you know, we believe so much in the power of the resurrection that changed world history that we moved the Sabbath to Sunday, which would be sundown Saturday, the sundown Sunday. And we believe that God gave us this commandment because, one, he created us and he knows what we need. I grew up in a family that was, we were Christian, but we didn't really practice any faith. And Sunday was just another day of the week that we were either playing baseball or, you know, working or whatever. And you kind of lose a sense of, you know, the sacred. You lose a sense of resting and contemplating. And once I became Catholic and I started getting into the rhythm of going to church every Sunday, I started to realize this is what I need. We all need that rest. We all need that contemplation of God's word. We all need to come together as a community to worship. And then it goes to other levels then of, you know, I've learned, you know, before I was born, maybe early on after I was born, you know, stores were closed on Sunday. Everything was closed so people could be with family and they could go to church. And now everything is open. We're playing sports all day long, and you and I love sports, but we're losing that sense of the sacredness of the day and our need as human beings to worship God and to rest. And so I try not to shop on Sunday. I try not to buy gas on Sunday, because if I do, that means other people have to work. And so I think we need to change our mindsets again to say, as a human family, we need this rest. We need to spend time with our families, and we need to spend time going to church together as a community.
How does one keep Sunday holy?
It's a challenge in today's world, isn't it? Where for most part of the world, it's just seen as another day. Or another day where I can get things done that I haven't been able to do during the week. And I've been guilty of this. You know, we get so busy. Our culture is so busy that, oh, Saturday and Sunday is when I catch up on all my errands and catch up on my work. I've got my laptop at home. And so it's very hard to change that pattern. But once people do, I've experienced it in my life and know others who have, that they decide, okay, I'm going to get all my work done during the week. I'm going to make sure Sunday is the day, first of all, to go to church, go to Mass, maybe spend some time in adoration at a nearby adoration chapel. We're going to spend time as a family, maybe even, you know, to play a board game or, you know, something that you can do as a family, eat a meal together, and just spend time resting and relaxing. If you think about just the pattern of an individual day, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, the importance of sleep. When I don't sleep well, you know, my body feels terrible. And so God made us so that we need to sleep each day to rest and recover physically. And similarly, he gave us the Sabbath to rest and to be, you know, re-nourished, you know, through the Word of God, through the Eucharist, through spending time with family, so that we can do the work that God has given us. Work is good, but we need a break from it. We need a Sabbath as well.
And it's okay to love sports and to participate in sports on a Sunday, but first, make the Lord number one. Find a way to get to Mass, either on Saturday night or early Sunday morning or late Sunday night. If there's a will, there's a way.
Amen. And I just want to make a plea. And I've heard of Catholic schools who have had games and practices on Sunday morning. And I'm thinking, oh, we're missing the boat. We're missing the sense of Sabbath. And so we're asking families to compromise their ability to go to church. Now there's so, you know, when we grew up, there weren't these travel teams. And it seems like every weekend, these travel teams are going all over the place. You know, they're playing all day on Sunday, and it makes it really hard for families to get to church. And so I know it's a sacrifice, and I'm with you. I love sports, and, you know, it's great to go to games to play, but make church your priority. Even if you're traveling, you know, I know people, the first thing they do is go to masstimes.com or .org. It'll give you the, you know, the mass times wherever you're at. Make that your priority. And I've had friends who they tell the coaches, my son is not going to practice or play on Sunday morning. That is our family time where we go to church. And sometimes there's consequences to that where they don't play or they, you know, they're relegated to a less important role on the team, but they're teaching their child this importance of the Sabbath. Otherwise we teach our children that sports are more important than God. And that's not a good message to send.
There's always a way to find a way to get to Mass. And I know as a baseball dad, we've experienced it firsthand. We always find it, even during that travel baseball schedule. Father, I want to talk about the fourth commandment here before we run out of time. Honor your father and your mother. What does the fourth commandment require?
Yes, yeah, so this is the beginning of the seven commandments that talk about relating with one another. And so honor your father and mother. And this comes with a promise back in Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord has commanded thee, that you may live a long time and it may be well with thee in the land that the Lord thy God will give thee. So there's promises with this that when we honor our father and mother, and this includes people that are placed in rightful authority of us. So yes, our biological parents or adopted parents, but it also includes government authorities. And, you know, in most churches on Sunday, we pray for our government officials that they may follow the Lord's ways, our teachers, our coaches, you know, the priest in the church. There's a sense of God has placed certain people with rightful authority over us, and we're to honor them. You know, Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give to God what belongs to God. And it just starts to put things in order, that God has given you these parents in order to raise you. Now, someone may say, well, my parents aren't good. You know, my parents, you know, they don't go to church, or they're not leading me in the right direction. There is still a way to honor them. I find that people are not bad. Most people are wounded. And it helps me to see, okay, God, help me to see this person like you see them. Help me to forgive them like you forgive them, and help me to love them like you love them. And you start to see people through a different lens. And so if you've had a bad experience with your parents, there's ways to honor them without maybe, you know, saying what they've done is correct. That makes sense.
And Father Burke, with honoring parents, there's also duties of children towards their parents, duties of parents towards their children. Can you briefly touch on that?
Sure. Yeah. So as children to parents, it's really important that that we, you know, I always try to think of this in the sense of God. You know, God the Father, we're to honor God, we're to give him our due respect, to listen, to obey. And that's what we're asked of for our parents. You know, when you're a child, our parents may not seem like the smartest people, like they don't give us everything that we want. But good parents say no. Good parents say not yet, or that's not good for you. And we're to learn as children to say, wow, maybe my parents know more than I do, and I owe them my obedience, my respect. And that's been so important for me. And as a priest, you know, I make a promise of obedience to the bishop who ordains me and his successors. And I remember thinking, boy, this is going to be so enslaving. And what I realized, it's been so freeing, because I trust that the Holy Spirit is working through a bishop. And we have to trust that God is working through the people that God has placed, you know, as authorities over us, and we're to give them their due honor and respect, beginning with our parents.
Well, Father Burke, I so much appreciate your spiritual perspective and your teachings. Really, thank you for being with us once again here on this Monday morning.
Always good to be with you. God bless you and all your listeners.
All the best also with your book, A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball to Catholic Priest. Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest, and of course, a longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic speaker, faith coach, and author Kendra Von Esch will continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. This morning, we're going to talk about how we display our bodies and what the word modesty actually means. So stay with us. There is much more to come here on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I was trying to figure out what song that was. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It is great to be with you here this morning. Thank you so much for making us a part of your morning here on this start of the week on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And first of all, I just want to say muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much once again for just an absolutely amazing answer the call summer pledge drive last week. You guys never cease to amaze me time and time again. And once again, we made it. In case you missed it, we made our goal of $3 million early on Saturday morning after coming up a little bit short at the end of the Drew Mariani show. We made it sometime, we're guessing, around 1 in the morning, early on Saturday morning. Here are the latest numbers, 3.1 million and some change from 14,455 gifts from you, our Relevant Radio family, the average gift amount of only $215. So that means every single one of you counts so much, and we cannot do it without you. Just amazing support. Many prayers were answered, many memoraries that we prayed all week long to ask our Blessed Mother to help us with the pledge drive. And as always, she came through, you came through. Thank you again. For whatever reason, if you missed last week's pledge drive, you can still make a tax-deductible donation. You can do it online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. And yes, the number is still in play. You can call us at 877-291-0123. Again, the pledge drive is over, but if you missed it for whatever reason, if you're out of the country on vacation, you can still give us a jingle at 877-291-0123. Our email is morningair@relevantradio.com. If you want to say thank you, if you want to share why you were a part of our pledge drive last week and what Relevant Radio means to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on social media, on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is @MorningAirShow, as well as on Facebook. Now, this morning, we continue our Soul, Mind, and Body summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits with our good friend, Kendra Von Esch. As we get to the end of the series, we are focusing on the body and how we can take care of it with exercise and healthy diet, but also with modesty. Not a very common word these days. Joining us live for much more from the Chicago area's Morning Air regular contributor, Kendra Von Esch, as we're going to focus on modesty from a few different perspectives and what it really actually means. Kendra is a speaker, a faith coach, a podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey as well. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, my sister Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you on yet another happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you too, John. Thanks for having me.
I am, like I said, I'm smiling from ear to ear because We made it. We made our goal.
That's so great. I was happy to be a part of the event of the week to kick it off with you. That is so wonderful. It does warm your heart, doesn't it? Knowing that all those people out there need this radio station, and that's their way of evangelizing. So congratulations. I'm super excited. Well, and oh, by the way, shout out to Sarah for those cool tunes that she's putting out.
Oh, yes. She is the tune meister, for sure.
Totally. I love it. I love it.
All right. Kendra, last week we talked about our bodies and how we need to treat them as a temple of the Holy Spirit with nutrition and exercise. But what about how we display our bodies? What does the word modesty actually mean?
Well, it's funny that you ask that. Let's ask Merriam-Webster, which is right up in front of me, and I will read it because I think when I think of modesty, I go directly to where you go, which is dress. But it says propriety in dress, speech, or conduct. And then there's another definition that says the quality of not being too proud or confident about yourself or your abilities. So if I look at myself and how I was before God found me, which was 10 years ago in 2013, so shout out to all you people within the last decade who are, you know, doing this walk, learning about the Catholic faith and figuring out how do I be more virtuous instead of vicious in who I am as a Catholic Christian. And let me just tell you, back in the day, I myself was not modest at all. I would tell you first my speech. Oh my gosh, John, I would drop
like a drunken sailor.
Oh, it was so bad. It was, and I thought I was cool doing that. I would be at the boardroom, right? The mahogany row with all the guys. And I would be, every other word would be the F-bomb or the S-bomb or whatever bomb I could find out, you know? And someone once said to me, you know, someone who swears a lot, it's a sign of lack of, like, knowledge of other words. And I was like, oh, what are you calling me, stupid? But that's kind of what I thought. And then when I would tell jokes or I would be around people, probably around drinking, I would be so crass. I would be really gross with what I would say. And at one time, this was probably a year into my journey, a good friend of mine said to me, wow, you profess to be this big Christian, yet you talk like that. And it hit me so hard. I was driving home from her house the next day. My husband was noticing I was being real quiet. He's like, okay, what's wrong? And I said, well, what she said to me was so true. Like, I can't be talking like this anymore. Jesus doesn't do that in the Bible. And my husband was so wonderful. He said, God will help you with that too, you know, which he has. And now when I hear it coming out of other people's mouths, and I am going to say I hear it come out of a lot of people's mouths that are Catholic, it takes me aback, like, ooh, that's crazy. But also, I'm just going to say in dress, I also didn't dress very conservative. Let's just say that. A lot of the time, now I didn't have a body that could really put a whole bunch of crazy stuff on. I look at the people out there today, John, in this culture. Can your shorts be any shorter? And now your tops are so short that they show all of your stomach? I mean, what
Kendra,
is going on
Kendra,
in this culture?
I was coming home yesterday from the city, visiting my mom at the Little Sisters of the Poor, and I'm driving down Ashland Avenue, and there's some woman, I mean, she looked like she was in her bathing suit, just walking down the street with her, you know, gym shoes on. She was obviously jogging, but I mean, she was so scantily clad. It's like impossible not to notice, and you can't help but wonder how the average guy will respond, just, you know, just on a human level to seeing that. And I mean, I had literally had to look away because it was such a near occasion of sin just to have her in my sight as I'm driving my car and coming up to a red light.
Oh, you know what? That is such a great point, because I never thought about myself in the first few years of my journey as being one who may cause someone else to sin. You know, Matthew 5:28, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So by you looking away, that's a shame. It's a shame that you have to look away. It's a shame that women today don't respect their bodies and cover it up. Because again, I don't want to cause someone else to sin. But I also want to respect this body, right? You had mentioned the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we should be treating our body with exercise and nutrition, but also with respect and with our speech and what we say, how we say things, and our behaviors.
And before I forget, we should never go to Mass looking like we're going to a disco or going to the beach, because that can also be extremely disrupting to one's prayer life in Mass. When somebody is scantily clad and not properly dressed, it's very distracting.
And I'm telling you, it is so amazing when I look at men and women, and they're typically older, who still dress in a suit and a dress with a tie. And that to me is just as shocking as people who are scantily dressed. And you're not kidding. When you're walking up there in flip-flops and jean shorts, you know, rolling out of bed half the time, your hair is not combed. Like, that is distracting.
I like your white and black outfit, the suit that you're wearing right there on your website. That is, you look very corporate and but very traditional.
Thank you. But I'm going to tell you, here was the funny thing. When I first started my ministry, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be that person that is always wearing a top up to the top of my neck. But I remember talking with someone, one woman, and she says, oh yeah, I never wear anything lower than something up, you know, to the middle of her neck, almost where her collarbones are. And I was like, huh. And you never know, people, what you're wearing or what you're doing or why you're wearing what you're wearing can drop a seed in someone just like me. Because now I'm like, I don't think I should wear anything. I don't go too far down, but V-necks were something that I was wearing at the time. And then this woman, who I respect, said something, and it changed me. So we can be evangelizing out there with our dress, with our talk, with our behavior. I guarantee you, when I started working on my swearing and God's grace took it right out, the people that worked for me and worked with me were amazed. They could not stop talking about how I didn't swear. And I remember there was a coworker, a peer of mine as a chief information officer. He's a Christian man, not Catholic. He didn't swear. One day I asked him, why don't you swear? I'm sorry, I've been swearing on this phone with you for the last 30 minutes. And he said, because I choose not to. And that hit me too. So, you know, just the little things that we do can be impactful to the people around us. And I just pray for the culture to come back to respecting our bodies, respecting one another with what we wear, and just women in general, to come back to looking at us as a gift to a husband at one point in time, and not attracting you down the middle of Chicago, you know, where you have to look away. It's got to be insane out there.
Well, Kendra, I so much appreciate you bringing this to the table here this morning about modesty, and also not just dressing, but speech. The good Lord gave me the grace years ago when I had my conversion back in the 90s to not swear anymore. And I really don't swear. I never swear. And it's the grace of God that has allowed me to do that. So thanks for the reminder. We'll have to leave it right there. I really appreciate your contributions week in and week out, as always.
Anytime, John. You have a blessed week. We'll talk soon.
Many blessings to you. Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch. And of course, you can find her at kendravonesch.com. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Get Your Own Dirt. God was once approached by a scientist who said, listen, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. These days we can clone people, transplant organs, and do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous. God replied, don't need me, huh? Well, how about we put your theory to the test? Why don't we have a competition to see who can make a human being, say a male human being? The scientist agrees, and God declares they should do it like he did in the good old days when he created Adam. Fine, says the scientist, as he bends down to scoop up a handful of dirt. Whoa, says God, shaking his head in disapproval. Not so fast. You get your own dirt. Hebrews 3:4 reminds us, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. In this month of August that is winding down, the month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let's open our hearts and honor the Mother of God by praying and watching the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As Father Rocky always says, the Family Rosary Across America, the happiest half hour of your day. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, for Glenn Leverins, and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is up next.